false doctrine. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about tonight. We're in 1 and verse 19. 1 and verse 19. Paul means what? What does Paul mean? Short. What does Saul mean? That was his name to begin with. What? One asked for. One asked about. And what about Timothy? What does Timothy mean? Timotheus is what it comes from, Brother Dave.
Honorable to God.
Honorable to God. Timeo, it means to honor, and theos, of course, is God, to be honorable to God. All right, now, we have this letter written in the late part of Paul's ministry, about 3 or 4 years before he's going to be martyred. And Paul's writing to Timothy and telling him what? What is the subject of this whole book? Remember what that one is? What's the whole subject of this book? Roger, you remember that?
How to behave in church.
How to behave yourself in the household of God, which is in the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, they had a lot of problems, and Paul's going to get into some of them tonight. They would get worse and worse as time would go on. Ekon. Piston. Kai Agathane. Sin A. Dason. Hain. Tenes. Aposaminoi, Peri, Tain, Piston, Yuanga, Yuang Gason. Having. Now, tell me about that participle there, Cindy. You know anything about that participle? Having? Ekon? All right, nominative singular masculine, present participle active. What is a participle? What kind of action is that, David? Okay, Roger. What kind of action is participle? That's a continuing thing.
Present.
All right, it's a continuing thing. It doesn't have to mean present. It's just a continuing thing for a period of time. Right here, it's present participle acting, it's present tense at this time, and it's active, it's going, the person is doing the acting, and it's continuous action. Having faith. What kind of faith? Even good. What is this agathane here? Agathane. What kind of good is agathane? What's the other word for good?
I don't remember the other word, but this is spiritual good.
This is spiritual good. The other one is kalos. What is the Hebrew word for good, Brother Roger?
Tov.
All right. And so here it says, having faith good. Having faith good conscience. All right. Having faith and a spiritually good conscience. Sine a Dason. What about this word conscience? What is that made up? It's a compound word. What two words is it made of? Roger, have any idea?
No.
Huh? How about you, Sharon? Cindy?
Blank.
Cindy?
Seen
and ado, which means what? To see together with your mind. That's what it literally means, to see together with your mind. Hain, now this is accusative singular feminine relative pronoun. Which, some, this faith and conscience, faith and good conscience, some having thrust away. Aposaminoi. It comes from apo and deo. It means to throw away. Now here we have another participle. What kind of action does this participle have? Cindy, you remember what kind this one has?
Well, it's first aorist.
First aorist, which is what kind of action? Knife, blade, punctiliar, but it is a participle, so it was continuing, but it was at a point in time. Continuing action, but it knife, blade, right now. Having thrust away, at some period of time, they having thrust it away, threw it away, having thrown away concerning the faith. All right? Concerning the faith. What kind of faith is this? This is just the same as in Jude, isn't it? The faith once and for all delivered to the saints, the system of teaching. the system of teaching. What kind of people is the Apostle Paul and Timothy facing? Two kinds.
The
Gnostics, for one, which is the Gnostics today would be who? Basically, they're the Jehovah's Witnesses, aren't they? Okay? The Jehovah's Witnesses today. They're the Gnostics. Having thrown away concerning the faith, the system of teaching. And they made, now look at this word, enageson. That third person plural, what kind of action? First aorist. So this punctiliar action in the participle and this punctiliar action here in this shipwreck. Now, we get some words in English from this word right here. One of them is to navigate, okay, and the other one is nautical. And the word literally means to swim. Okay? Now, if you're in a boat, you're swimming very easily, aren't you, Brother Dave? Yeah, you're using the boat to make buoyant, so you're floating, but you're still swimming with a paddle or a engine or whatever, or a sail. You're still swimming, but you're swimming in a boat. A boat means to swim. A ship means to swim. Okay? It means to ship. The word nokleros. The word nos or knock, the word there knock is what? That means ship. That means to swim. Kleros. Remember what that word means. Kleronomia. There's a word in the New Testament. Kleronomia. Remember what kleronomia means? Kleros means a lot, doesn't it? Lot by legal decree. So what is a nakleros? A nakleros is a captain of a ship. Okay? It's the navigator. It can also mean a not only a pilot or a captain, but even a sailor. One that's sailing on the ship. Or the owner of the ship. Their faith having made shipwreck. And that word there means to break up the ship. When Jonah was in the ship was breaking up. The ship was literally in the process of breaking up. They were throwing everything out of the ship and it was breaking up. The wind and the storm was so powerful that it was breaking the ship up. One in verse 20. The chief wreckers of the faith. Wreckers. I remember a long time ago, about 1950-something, I worked in a wrecking yard for my uncles. Jay and Wesley and Jim, they had car lots, and Jim had a trailer sales, that one on Edison Road out there. Jay and Wesley's wrecking yard at Edison and Oswell. And I worked there, and we brought in cars, and we would wreck the cars. I hated wrecking cars. I hated it. Because I saw something good. One time they brought in a Cadillac, about a 1938 Cadillac, beautiful red Cadillac with a white top with white leather seats in it. And I said, I'd like to have that. It had a big Cadillac V8 engine in it, and it was just absolutely beautiful car. This old woman had given it to him for $10, I think. She just wanted it out of her garage. She couldn't drive. So they went up there. They aired the tires up. They drove it in there. You couldn't even hear the engine run. And they said, turn it over, knock a hole in the gas tank, and set it on fire. Pull the tires off. Because that was during the Vietnam War, just prior to the Vietnam War, and metal was real high. And I said, please let me buy that car. You see those cars right now for sale for $300,000 or $400,000 for that car today. Well, on my hand, I have a scar where I pulled the spark plugs out of the engine. I turned it over on the side, knocked a hole in the gas tank because they would not. I offered them $100 for it. Says, not enough. We can get a lot more money for the iron. Buick Roadmasters. Cars that they drove in there, and we wrecked them. Cars that you couldn't even hear the engines run. Packards, Buicks, Cadillacs, Lincolns. 12-cylinder Lincolns. Boy, that's a lot of iron in that 12-cylinder car. All those transmissions and stuff, we just took them and turned them over and set them on fire and cut them up with a cutting torch. Wrecked them. I looked at that and it just made me sick. That I'll never forget that Cadillac. I saw one down at Merle Norman's museum. Just like it. Now, we see this wrecking. But some people do that to the Word of God. Some people do that to the faith. They're wreckers. They wreck faith. They wreck people's faith. They wreck faith. They wreck the truth. Now, here we have two guys that are wreckers right here. These guys are specifically named. They are wreckers. Hone, Esten, Hemeneos, Kai, Alexandros, Hus, Paradoka, Tu Satana, Hina, Pai Di Thosen, May, Blasphemain. You know, when you learn the Greek language, you got a handle on a whole bunch of languages. You know that? Just a whole bunch of them, because almost every Western language came from Greek. That's where they originated. A lot of the words. The English language is a very poor, frugal, minuscule language, because it borrows from all languages. It had very few. It says ug. That was about it in English. You go back and chase some of the stuff to Anglo-Saxon, and it's very, very little there. All of it came from someplace else. Let's look at some of this. We got a lot of words in English from this one verse right here. We're going to see a lot of words. Several words come from this language to ours. Of whom? Of whom? He is Hemeneus. Hemeneus. What word do you think we get from this name? Cindy? What? Well, how about him? Him. All right, now let's look at this guy. Look what his name means. His name comes from the Greek god Hermes. Greek god Hermes. He's one of the erotica gods that led the bride in the wedding procession. Okay, this was one of these gods that led the bride, the virgin, okay, in the wedding procession, and he's the one that sang the wedding marches and the wedding songs. That's what this name means, Hermes. It also means the god of interpretation, does it not? How about hermeneutics? All right, hermeneutics. All right. Hermes, hermeneutics, him are all from this same word. Okay, these words all come from the Greek language. And Alexandros. The word Alexandros is just about Alexander. What does Alexander mean? Alexander. Well, there's anthropos in there. Alex, how does the name Alex mean? What does the word Alex mean? Defender, warrior. Alex, defender, warrior. Warrior or defender of mankind, that's what Alexander means. Defender or warrior of mankind, whom I have handed over. Look at this word now. First person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. Punctiliar your action. He did it. All right. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he was, he had to write two letters to the Corinthian church, didn't he? That church was pretty messed up. We need to take that, all churches today need to take that letter and read it 3 or 4 times a year, because we've got all the same problems that that church had constantly. And here's a letter, how to behave yourself in the house of God, And in the 1 Corinthian letter, there were immoral people in that church. One guy, he specifically names this person that was living as with his own mother in incest. A lot of times in over history, they said, well, this was his stepmother. It wasn't his stepmother. This is his mother. Okay, he's living with his mother and sexually living with her. Incest. Well, he told them to exclude him from the church. Matthew, the 18th chapter, also talks about church discipline, doesn't it? Now, these guys evidently at one time were church members of this church in Ephesus, okay? And they went off on the wrong beam. And there are what we call traps. Traps. He's going to talk about traps later on. Things that trap preachers, things that trap church members. What are some of the things that trap them?
Pride.
Okay. Pride. What else?
Greed.
Money. Okay. What else?
Power.
To lord over people. Power to lord over people. What else?
Lust.
What?
Lust.
These are the things, and Paul's going to delineate these later on. These are the things that we have problems with. Right here, we have two people, two individuals that he names, that he said he's turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And in the book of James, it talks about hamartiogenic illness and hamartiogenic thanatos, death. Death, necros. Hamartiogenic. What does hamartiogenic mean?
Study of being out of bounds.
Okay. Sin caused illness and sin caused death. Now, James, now this is Jesus' brother, talked about this when he wrote the letter of the book of James. He said, some of you are sick. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians, some of you are sick. Why? Because they were in the church causing problems and heresy. Beware of false doctrine. Beware of heresy. All of these different things we need to beware of. Now, I have handed over to Satan. Satan. What are some of the titles of Satan? Satan is just one of his titles, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What is some of the others?
The prince of this world.
The prince of this world. Okay. What is the word prince in Hebrew?
Star.
Sair. Okay, what does that mean?
One who contends.
A warrior, one that wars and one that contends. Satan is in a constant battle with God, isn't he? Is there or is he not? And he's in constant battle with you as God's children all the time. All the time. He's not going to lay down. He's right. I always know where Satan is. He's right behind me or to my side or somebody. He's near. I just know that. He's around somewhere. Satan. His name in Latin is Lucifer. Hillel in Hebrew. This is this title that he had before. Before he sinned, and what was that name? What was it? What was it? Shining one. Light. But he became darkness, didn't he? He was built perfectly. No sin was in him, but he chose to sin by way of volition. Satan. He's called Diabolos. That's the Greek word. It's also the Spanish word. The Spanish comes right out of Latin, and the Latin comes right out of Greek. Okay? Diabolos, Brother Roger. No. Pamela, Diabolos.
It's the devil.
It means devil, the word devil. All right. But what does Diabolos mean, Brother Dave? It means to destroy, to run you through, to throw through. Literally, it means to shoot somebody or to throw a spear through them or whatever. Okay? Satan, the destroyer, because he's going to do some destruction. Satan loves to destroy. How many of you read the book of Job in the last year? You need to read the book of Job, because that's, we always need to read that, because that's a guy. Job's a guy. He's a human being like you and me. And we have Satan following us just like he did. What all did Satan do to Job?
Everything. What didn't he do?
Yeah. What did he do? He took his family away from him. He took his family away. He took the love of his friends away from him. He took his friendship away. He took his health away from him. Huh? Took all of his money, all his property. Took his children that he loved. His wife that... I think the reason why he left his wife there for a while, because she wasn't very good. That was a poor choice. Okay? A poor choice. She was a poor choice. That woman didn't do anything except pick on him. Job just cursed God and die. Blaspheme God and die. That's a lot of encouragement, isn't it? And then his friend said, "You're a terrible person. Terrible. It's all your fault." What had Job done?
Nothing bad.
Just breathe, that's all. I had a guy one time, and his wife and him didn't get along at all, and they moved different counties. He said, "We can't live in the same county." And they got a divorce and everything, too, you know. He lived up there and she lived way out yonder. But they saw each other now and then. But he said, "She's always mad at me because I'm still breathing." That was why Satan hated him so much, because he's still breathing. After you die, what else is Satan going to do to you? Ooh, the Mia, nothing. You're gone. You're no longer tied to this country, tied to this dimension. In order that they may be spanked up straight. Beat up. They're going to be beat up. Not to blaspheme. Look at this word "not" there. What kind of word is that? This "may." May. What is this? That's a particle of negation, isn't it? And another is an adverb of negation. We have a particle of negation here. And we have that in Hebrew as "lo," as "el," and there's different ones in Hebrews, in the Hebrew language. To blaspheme. What does the word "blaspheme" mean?
Discredit.
Huh?
Discredit.
That's the modern term.
Yeah.
The modern term is discredit.
Use
blame. Blame is a shortened form of blaspheme. Blame. Okay. Now, let's go back to see what it actually was. It means to speak evil of and to slander, to abuse. Does Satan do that to us? To us? You ever had somebody do that to you? Okay. It means to speak irreverently about God or sacred things and to change or disrupt the attributes of God. Let's go back to that one for a minute. To change or disrupt or discredit the legitimate, true attributes of God. Let's talk about the attributes of God for just a minute. How can you blaspheme? Literally, how can you blaspheme? Now, they had doctrinally blasphemed, haven't they? That's what the problem. We have doctrinal blasphemy here. All right, how can you blaspheme God doctrinally?
Change what he says.
Change what he says.
Misinterpreted
the word of God. This is what we call beware of, fear false doctrine. One of the most important things about our God and Savior is what? The redemption story. Okay, what is the redemption story?
Born, died,
the redemption story is that God decided in eternity past that he would save man by what? By his own merits. by his own merits. What is that, Brother Roger? It's also written like this. Okay. Goel. What is Goel? What does Goel mean?
Kinsman Redeemer.
It's our kinsman Redeemer. Very beautiful word.
Book of Ruth.
The Book of Ruth. The whole Book of Ruth is about Goel, the kinsman Redeemer. Okay? The whole Book of Ruth is. Next few verses over here. To change the person of God, to change the plan of God's salvation. What's the number of man?
Six.
Six. What's the number of grace?
Five.
Okay. Number of grace is five.
Five plus one.
Okay. To change, you were in the class. I know. You guys were all in the class. Okay. David wasn't. Penny wasn't. Cindy wasn't. Salvation is by grace, is it not?
Yes.
Who decided that?
God.
Yeah. Is that God's nature? To change salvation to something other than grace is what? Blasphemy. Five plus one is what?
Six.
Six. What is six?
Man.
It's the number of man also, but what is six?
You remember?
Imperfection. Five is what?
Grace.
The number of grace. One is what?
Unity.
Originally.
Unity.
Unity. Okay. So we have two numbers here. What is two?
Division.
Division. One is unity, two is division. Now we have two numbers here. Two numbers. Two is what? Division. Five is grace. It's always a number of grace. In the tabernacle, there was a whole lot of fives in that tabernacle and multiplications of fives. Now six in the Bible always means imperfection and always means what? Man. The book of Revelation, it talks about the number of the Antichrist is what? The unholy Trinity. 666. Imperfection, imperfection, imperfection. Man, man, man. Okay? Five and six. Now, if you add anything to the grace of God, what have you done? You've destroyed and you've blasphemed God. The person of God decided that he himself would become flesh. He would become our Goel and he would become our Redeemer. He is our Redeemer, okay? Now let me read you a little something here from the Brown, Driver, and Briggs, Goel, okay? It means to redeem, to act as a kinsman. And Ruth 4 and 6 and 3 talks about act as a kinsman, do the part of next of kin, taking a kinsman's widow, like we have in the book of Ruth 3 and 12, 3 and 13, and redeeming from bondage, Leviticus 25, 48 and 49, redeeming a field, Ruth 4 and 6, claim as a kinsman. Now here's something different. This all sounds good, didn't it? The Avenger of Blood. What is that? The Avenger of Blood. What is that?
That'd be God.
If you are the kinsman redeemer, just think about this just a little bit. But when you deal with Islam, they're always killing people. Do you know that? They're killing people. Kill, 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 kill. That's what they're doing. They always were killing somebody. And then they had blood money that they had to pay for killing. Muhammad killed his own family. I mean, just gobs of them. And he kept paying off the rest of them that was alive, and he'd kill them and pay them off, paying off blood money, uncles, aunts, cousins, whatever. Even his, what we call adopted family, the woman that nursed him. He killed a bunch of them. He let her go and whatever. But this was all blood money. All of this was blood money. Somebody had... The word Goel is also prosecuting attorney. It is the avenger of blood. Now just think about it. Do you want Jesus as your Goel, or do you want him as your prosecutor? Okay, which one you want? How about it, Cindy? De Kaiosine. You want him to be your justifier, or do you want him to be your blood, avenger of blood? It can mean either to redeem or to curse. To redeem or to curse. When you change the nature of God, you have cursed yourself and everybody and everything that you touch. Everything and everyone. We talk about these two guys here, Alexander, and we have Hymenaeus. All right? We got these two guys. These are they are blaspheming God. Because why? Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:16 and 2:17 and 4:14. Okay? Let's go there real quick. Sharon, do you have those two there? 2 Timothy 2:17 and 4:14. Cindy, do you have them? All right.
17.
Okay, could you come up here and read that for me, please?
2
Timothy 2:17 and 4:14. Let's see what kind of blasphemy they did. Okay, let's see how they blasphemed.
And their teaching will devour it, will eat its way like a cancer or spread like gangrene. So it is with Hymenaeus and Philetus.
Yeah, this is naming these people, okay?
And then the other
it's like a cancer. What does a cancer do?
Eat.
It destroys, it kills. You know what? Cancer kills its host. It's pretty dumb, isn't it? What is a mistletoe? It's a parasite. It's a parasite. But it lives off of something else. Leeches live off of something else. All of these ticks and fleas and all these kind of things, these are all parasites, aren't they?
Okay,
worms. Okay,
four,
go ahead.
Four fourteen. Alexander the coppersmith did me great wrongs. The Lord will pay him back for his actions.
Okay, what was this wrong? What was this wrong? Do you remember? 1 Corinthians 5:15, 11:32, Hebrews 20, 12 and 5. It goes back all to all of these things. They were saying, what was the problem? You remember? They were saying that the resurrection was past. That they had no hope. That the resurrection was already past. Why would they mix up the resurrection? Now, they were really adamant about this. Okay, they were real adamant about it. How would they think that the resurrection was past? Cindy, you got an idea? How about it, Penny? Why would these guys think the resurrection was past? Roger. Why would they think the resurrection was past?
Well, I don't know, but Paul said things like it's soon to come.
Yeah. Talked about the coming of the Lord was soon to come. He believed the coming of the Lord was imminent. That's the return of the Lord. But they said the resurrection was already past. 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter is talking about what? The gospel and the resurrection. All right? Why would they misunderstand it, David? Have any idea? How about it, Sharon? What happened when Jesus rose from the dead?
He resurrected.
What happened? Anastasia. Jesus was resurrected, but how many others were resurrected? Gobs of them, maybe all. We don't know. And so these guys said, look at there, look at there. They'll take one thing out of the Bible and say, look, this proves what I want to prove, so this is it. Don't let one scripture prove contrary to the rest of the Bible ever. Don't ever do it. Don't ever take one scripture out. People that believe in the last of the week rapture, okay? The last of the week rapture, what does that mean? We've got people that believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, which I really believe in. There's a mid-tribulation rapture, and then there's a last of the week rapture. All right? There's three different interpretations of rapture. And then some people don't believe in it at all.
Is that what you call post?
Post-tribulation rapture at the end of the week. This is what we call the end of the week people. All right? They use one scripture, and they say at the seventh trump, the dead in Christ shall rise. Period. At the seventh trump, the dead in Christ. And they say, see, that's the last of the week. How many trumps are there? It's a gob of trumps during that period of time. Trumps are sounds. Go on here, let me read this a little bit further. This word goel also means to defile, to contaminate, to damn, to pollute, to desecrate, to stain. What had these two people here, three now we've got named out, what did these people do? What did they do? They took scripture and they tried to make it teach what they believed, not in harmony with the Bible. And when you take things out of harmony with the Bible, then what do you do? When you try to teach some doctrine that you want to teach, some hobby horse that is not foundationally found true, you are disrupting, you are blaspheming the true plans of God. You look up here, there are people that won't even believe what we call in dispensationalism. Now, I don't believe that God ever had any but one plan of salvation. That one plan of soteriology. And that was salvation by, number five, grace. We have two numbers here. When you add one to five, you have division because there's two numbers. And it goes to the number six, which means defiled or corrupted or contaminated or whatever you want to say. Falling short. You've changed the message of God. Charles Taze Russell changed the message of God. Marcion changed the message of God. Marcion lived between 80 and 160 AD. He was just a little back. He was born just a little past this. But what was Marcion? What did he believe? He believed the same things that Paul the Apostle were fighting here, and Gnostics. They didn't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back and just think about that. Who else doesn't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? Huh? Jehovah's Witnesses don't, because they're Gnostics.
Mormons,
I couldn't say that they don't believe the deity of Jesus Christ. He's one of the gods. Remember, I read you that the other day. He's one of the gods. All right, they make themselves a god, okay? What else? Who else was a television preacher, him and his son, forever? You know, for 30 years. Herbert Armstrong and Gardner Ted Armstrong. This is what they believe, okay? Islam. All fight and blaspheme the deity of our Lord and our God and our Creator. They say He was not God. That's blasphemy. This is what we call blasphemy. It's changing the nature of God Himself to add to salvation with works is what? Blasphemy. Talk all of these, what we call Arminian ideas of salvation by grace, but with works. Grace plus works is what? Grace plus one is what? Damnation. It's error. What do you think the Apostle Paul would have done to you if you taught salvation plus works? Out of that church. Get him out of there. Get him out. He's a heretic. Get him out. Satan, that he might teach them not to blaspheme. You know, we have a lot of trouble with Satan when we're walking with God, don't we? Do you? You having trouble with Satan? When you're walking with God, do you have trouble with Satan? That's the one he's after you the most.
I can't even go to sleep.
Well, you could do like Muhammad used to say. Muhammad said when you have these bad dreams tonight, you wake up and you snuff water up in your nose and blow it 3 times because Satan's been hanging around there all night long. You got to blow him out. It tells you how to blow your nose. Okay? The Bible is a book of true science and mathematics. Cindy, science is mathematics is an absolute science, isn't it? It's beautiful. It is there. It's factual. Real. You can't prove evolution by mathematics. It's impossible. Steve, did you ever have a fly fall in your food?
More than I can count.
Let me tell you what Muhammad said about if your fly falls in your food. Okay? When a fly falls in your food, it's got contamination. Muhammad said it had poison on one wing and the antidote on the other wing. So you got to take the whole fly if he falls in your food or drink, and you don't throw the food away, but you dip the fly down underneath so you can get the antidote. That's it. I mean, this is the sunnahs and the hadith. This is it.
Yeah.
I read it over and over and over again. Because once, now, this is what we call 5 + 1 + 666, all this business, okay? This is taking and resting the Word of God. He had an answer for everything. Absolute answer for everything. Everything tells you how to go to the bathroom, how to blow your nose, how to make love to your wife, how to make love to your husband. There's nothing left out. How to cook your food, everything. What to eat and what not to eat. When to eat. The month of Ramadan. What is that? That's the fasting month, isn't it? Do they fast during the fasting month?
Only in the daylight
hours. Let me tell you, what if you were Alaskan in summertime? Well, he never thought about that because he didn't know anything about Alaska, did he?
No.
You know what? When you tell the first lie, you're damned to just keep on lying. False religion can they can take the Bible, and I'll repeat this piece, and I'll take this piece, and I'll take this piece. But what you do is you change the nature of God, don't you? You change the nature of God, who He is. You change the plan of salvation, and when you do that, the Goel becomes what?
The Avenger.
Huh?
The
Avenger of blood, the judge. Now you can either follow the Word of God and His Word, or you can damn yourself and damn all of those with you. How many people has Joseph Smith damned? How about
millions?
Charles Taze Russell. All of these people that started these false religions. Muhammad. All of these people. How many have they damned? These people are believers. Believers in that, in them, but not believers in God. Beware of false doctrine. What is doctrine? It comes from the Latin docere, doesn't it? What is doctrine? It's in Greek is what? Didaskalos. Didaskalos and docere borrow from that. It's teaching. False teaching. It's changing the nature of God, which is blasphemy. It's changing the plan of salvation, which is blasphemy. Changing the purpose of the Word of God. It's blasphemy. 2 and verse 1. We're going to talk about prayer here just a little bit. Parakalo. Un. Proton. Ponton. Poieste. Deseis. Prosukos. In Tixias. Eucharistias. Hyper. Ponton. Anthropon. Parakalo. What does this word come from? It's a compound Greek word. It comes from what? Para and kalo. Thank you, Cindy. Para means what? That's a little preposition. It means what? It's a preposition of place. Okay, preposition of place. It means beside. And how about kalo? Do we have an English word from kalo? Call. It means to call beside. It means to beseech. It means to comfort. It means to build up. Sometimes you have to beat them down a little bit. You know, correction. Calling to. I exhort. I'm trying to correct. I'm trying to comfort. I'm trying to emphasize. I'm trying to give you some standards here. Some standards. I exhort. I comfort. Command you, therefore, first of all. That's a little adverbial. Firstly, of all to be made. Poieste. Poieste. What English word do we have come out of this word? What English word comes out of this word? Poem. Poem. What does a poem do? You make words rhyme in a poem. Present infinitive factor, to be made. This word here, to make words. Abideisies, deisies, deisies. Okay? Deisies means to request. It comes from deo, which means to bind. And this word for prayer, there's four words for prayer in this one sentence, this one verse. There's four words for prayer. Paul is really using everything, trying to explain prayer. In prayer, in deisies, how many of you have ever focused on something? I remember a long time ago, you know, when back in the old days before we had radio and television and all that kind of stuff, we did all kinds of weird things to entertain ourselves. Now, I don't think anybody's here old enough to realize what I'm talking about. Maybe Roger. Do you remember a long time ago people used to put a sign up on a wall, and you'd look at that sign or that figure for a long time, and then you'd look away from it, and what would you see?
The sign,
the figure, whatever it was, a cross, an X, or somebody's name or something. You could look at that right there, and then you look away and you see that. Why do you see that? It's imprinted in your mind, in your brain. It's imprinted. It's bound in your brain. This word deisios, it means it's to bind upon your mind. To concentrate. To focus. With a fastener. Glue it down. Super glue it. Okay, super glue your mind to God. You got super glue on you? You were sorry about it, weren't you? Okay. This is something you won't be sorry about, to bind your mind to God. When I think about prayer, I think about one time in my life when my daughter was really going through a lot of abuse. And I was so sick. I was just heartbroken with it. And I was driving from Taft coming to Valley Baptist Church. And I remember when I turned off of Taft Highway onto Enos Lane, I was crying so hard in prayer. Tears were flowing. I had to pull off the side of the road. I couldn't see to drive. And, you know, when your heart is so broken sometimes, what does the Bible say? The Spirit does what?
Intercedes.
It makes intercession. It makes prayer for you. I'll never forget that till the day I die. Just heartbreaking to see somebody you love tortured and abused so much, and there's nothing you can do about it. Your hands are tied. It's horrible. That'll make you focus. That'll make you focus. Let's go on. Bind your mind. And then we have the word prosukos. 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 What words do you think this one's made out of? Here. What? What is that, Cindy?
Pros.
Pros is forward. A little preposition, page 346, if you want to write that down. And then eukos. Comes from eukomai. And what does that mean, eukomai? It means to bend, to twist, to turn. It means to turn your heart to God. To turn your heart, to turn your volition, to turn your mind to God. To turn, now we're going to bind our mind to God. Now we're going to turn our minds, our affections, and everything from the terra firma to the uporanois, to the hashemayim, to the heavens, to God's place. We are binding our mind to God. Now we're going to bend our knee. We're going to change. We're going to go toward God. And now we have the word intakes means it's goel also, go between. It means intercessor. It means Job, when he was this terribly mourning and crying and throwing ashes on his head and sitting out there and scratching these sores and everything else, he said, I need a lawyer between me and God. What in the world's God doing to me? I accept it, but why? Why? This word prayer means to your heart, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. There is only one go-between between God and man. Who is that? And we're going to get that later on.
Jesus.
Now, the Pope swears up and down that he is an intercessor. Doesn't he not? Well, he does. He doesn't believe in salvation by grace. He doesn't believe in any of these things. He believes he's an intercessor. He believes he's an apostle of God and that he can make new revelations when he gets them. You know, he's the power to do that, what you call a papal bull. A papal bull. That's a new doctrine. You go down and you study Catholicism, you've seen when they made these new revelations, these papal bulls, okay? Because he's an intercessor. And every priest in the Catholic Church, now when they started it, when they invented what we call auricular confession, you had to go confess to a priest. You had to confess your sins. The Bible says confess your sins to God, okay? To one another and to God, okay? Not to the priest. Okay. Muhammad, when they say his name, what did they say after they say his name? Peace be upon him. Why do they say that? Because they want him to be their intercessor. He used to have people come to him and they give him their homes or all of their cattle, all of their goats, all their sheep, all of their camels, all their donkeys, all their horses for his wars. And then beg him to be their intercessor in the day of judgment. Everybody, according to Islam, is going to be raised, resurrected, naked, except for Muhammad. Muhammad's going to have a green turban on and a green gown. Everybody has to walk across this bridge, a fire, naked. And when they say Muhammad and say peace be upon him, that means that they want him to be their intercessor and get them across that bridge. There's only one intercessor. We have an intercessor. When we can't speak to God, we have an intercessor, which is the Holy Spirit. It's God himself helping us pray to him. That's three words so far. We've got binding your mind to God. We've got bending your knee to God and to change in direction. Change in direction. From the world to him. Muhammad, when he first started his religion, they would pray toward Jerusalem. And then he got mad at the Jews real bad, and he said, we're going to change toward Mecca now. And now they always pray toward Mecca ever since. That's not what this word means here. It means to change the direction from worldly things to spiritual things. The intercessor, the go-between. And now we have Eucharistios. Eucharistios. What does that word mean? It's, I've got a couple of Greek words there. What are the two Greek words that this made of? Cindy, you remember that one?
It has...
You got a...
Thanks.
Okay, thanks, charis, which is grace. Okay. And we get the word Eucharist out of this.
Yeah, good.
Okay, or Eucharist. Okay, what else? What does it literally mean? There's two words here. You means what in Greek? Euangelion? Okay, good. Good message, Euangelion. This means good grace. What do you do when you pray? Most people say, Polly, want a cracker. Polly, want a cracker. Polly, want a cracker. I want something. I want something. I want something. I want something. That's what they pray for. People come, pray for me. I got cancer. Pray for me, my brother or sister sick. Pray for me, my mama's sick. Pray for me, I'm sick. This means to give thanks. Doesn't mean to ask for something. This means give thanks. What do you give thanks for God? To God. For salvation. Salvation. Thank you for saving me. We don't have any right to even speak to Him unless we're saved, do we? We're saved. Thank you for saving my soul by the merits of Jesus Christ. I believe in God, my Savior. Sound in theology. Don't want to change the message of the Word, and I don't want to change the message of God, and I don't want to change the person of God, nor His attributes at all. We don't want to do that, because that's what? That's blasphemy. Giving thanks on behalf of all men. There's another word, aitemata, also, that means request. There's five words for prayer. Aitemata. Alpha, India, Tango, Eta, Mu, Alpha, Tango, Alpha. Aitemata, that means request. Here we're going to give thanks. We're not going to ask for a cracker. Okay? Paul just left that one out. You know, blaspheme comes from Greek. That is the root of all. The French is blasphemer. Blasphemer. Okay? Blasphemer. The Latin is blasphemare. All of it comes from Greek. Now you got the root of it. And so now you can go in all these different languages. Blaspheme in English. All of these languages. The word blaspheme. Blaspheme means what? To try to change the nature of God. To twist. The word blame today comes from blaspheme. You blame somebody. You curse them. You blame them. Well, you want to go to two or you want to stop here? Two? All right, let's go look at two. Here's a real difficult situation here. Number two is, Heper, Basileon, Kai, Ponton, Ton, and hiperoke, anton, hina, eremon, kai, hesikion, bion, diagogomen, en passe, eusebia, kai, semnoteti. Look at this, just a little bit. Cindy, you're laughing about this one. On behalf of kings, rulers, presidents, senators, pray for them. Now, there is a new, how many of you read the little Larry Woods, the little thing? You know what I'm talking about. There's a new plan. There's a new plan in Medicare, Plan G, like golf. Like golf.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You know, that's what we're talking about as politicians right now. That's the subject here of this one. Medicare Plan G is You don't have enough money to buy your prescriptions. You're old. You don't have enough money to go into the rest home. You don't have enough money to go to the doctors. You don't have enough money for eyeglasses. You don't have enough dental insurance to either get false teeth or get your teeth fixed. You're stuck because you don't have enough money. So you go to Plan G. What you get with Plan G is you get a gun and one bullet. And you get to shoot your most unfavorite politician, the biggest liar and the scoundrel. You shoot him and they put you in jail. And when you go into jail, you get the electricity bill paid. You get clean sheets and a bed. You get a shower. You get your surgeries. You get your dental health. You get your prescriptions. You get your doctoring of all sorts. You got everything that you need for the rest of your life. What's wrong with that? It's true. It's so true. It's why it's what's wrong. It's terrible. People go to prison to get medical care. Do they? Yes, they do. Pray on behalf of kings. Now, all of these words for prayer that we just said now, they run on behalf of kings, rulers, basileia, and all of those in authority being hyperconte, those being headship, big shots. Who was a big shot? Who was the king or the Caesar of the Roman Empire when the Apostle Paul wrote this? Who was the guy? Who's the head man? Who?
Nero.
Nero. Nero had already burned Rome and played his guitar or fiddled or whatever he did and made up songs all the time it was burning. It burned for days. He wanted to tear Rome down and rebuild it. So he had it set on fire and the people were bawling and squalling. People were being burned to death. Their children, their families, their homes, all of their property was burned up. And all this time, Nero was having a ball because he saw that his building project were going forward. And when people started bawling and squalling to him and everything else, then he had to have a scapegoat, so he blamed or blasphemed the Christians. There we go. Everything is those Christians' fault. Everything is those Christians' fault. Everything is those Christians' fault. We'll just kill them. And poor Paul is waiting to be executed here sooner or later. Which we don't know when he finally had his head chopped off because he's a Roman citizen. He wasn't crucified. But on behalf of kings of all those in authority being, constantly being in, we have them, don't we? Every country has them. We have them. In order that, ad ramon. This is a little adjective, and it means to be tranquil, to be peace. You know, most of the world, a lot of the world, if you take it per square mile, Christianity is not legal. Did you know that?
Yep.
Christianity is not legal. And it's getting more shaky here all the time. It's getting more shaky all the time. We know, according to the book of Revelation, to be a Christian one of these days is going to cost you your life and you're going to be publicly beheaded, aren't you? Is that what the book of Revelation says? That's what it says. I believe it's going to take place after the rapture. Some people think it's going to take place during this period of time that the church is still here. I don't really believe this, but I have to tell you their opinions. And some people say all this is going to happen and finally you're raptured at the end of it after all these people die. But we have the church in heaven with the Lord and all the saved there with him during this time as they're looking down upon there what's happening on the earth. On behalf of all of those ones in authority, the word there, hyperconte, it's used two times in the New Testament. The other place is 1 Corinthians 2 and 1. Okay? Being in order that peaceful. Look at that word peaceful there. Ad ramon. Peaceful means tranquil. Still. Quiet. Can't you... We really haven't made here tonight. It was 80 degrees when I came in here. It was really hot, and I was sweating and had my coat off and everything like that, getting ready to put and moving things all around. But you know what? We haven't been disturbed since we've been in here, have we? We didn't have to hide out in a cave like the people did in the valleys of the Piedmont. When the Catholic Church sent in there, and they had these early Paulician Christians, which became known as the Mennonites today. This is where a lot of these came from, the Mennonites and the Amish and the Baptist. This is where they were living. They had lived there for about 1,400 years they had lived there. They went in there and they stopped up the caves where they ran to, and they would set fires and smoke them out and take them and fry them and roast them and eat the women. Especially their breasts. They had something about that. They wanted to fry these women's breasts and eat them. This is all. These people, their names. You look at Samuel Moreland's book about what happened there. These people's names are there. They would wish that they could serve in quietness. They would live in way back up in the hills where nobody wanted to live. So they could live like this. We haven't had to run to the mountains yet, have we? We hadn't had to live out there with all the necessities of life that we think are necessities. But one of these days, maybe people will hear. There was a Christian man, I think it was in China or Russia, I can't remember. You know, communism is a religion, isn't it? Yep. Communism will not coexist with any religion. Socialism does, but not communism. Communism will not exist. It does away with all religions. And this guy said, "What about American churches?" And he said, they don't even believe in God. They don't act like they're believers at all, these so-called Christians in America." He said, "I hope that God sends them some persecution so they'll straighten up their acts just a little bit. Clean them up. Purify them just a little bit." Tranquility, and then we have the word hesychion. Hesychion, that's used one time in the Septuagint. And Isaiah 66 and verse 2. And it's talking about physical course of life. We study about biology. Cindy, you studied biology. You can teach a little bit about biology. What does biology mean? The study of life, living things. Zoology is another word. But this is not zoe here. This is just base life. This base living, okay? Chaya in Hebrew. Life, physical life. That we can have a quiet physical life. We can go down the course of our lives. We all live a certain amount of time. And wouldn't you like to be able to be served the Lord for 75, 80, 90 years, even 50 years in peace and quiet without having your head chopped off or your fingers cut off or something? Burned? Boiled in oil? Polycarp, you know, it ended up costing him his life. He had to deal with Marcion directly. Did you know that? Polycarp did. Marcion. They had to deal with him. John had to deal with him. Paul, he wasn't born yet, but John hated the man. So did Polycarp. They hated Marcion. Marcion was a Gnostic. Marcion twisted. He perverted. He blasphemed. A quiet life. That we may leave. Diagomen. First person plural, present subjunctive active. It means dia and ago. It means to go through. Go through life peaceably. And in all Eusebia. Eusebius is the name, isn't it? There was a historian by Eusebius. Remember what that name means, Sherry? Eu means what?
Good.
And that means to handle carefully. Handle yourself carefully before God. Piety. Piousness. And same notate. That means serious. It's an old word. Used four times in the New Testament. It's Philippians 4 and 8, 1 Timothy 3 and 4, and Titus 2 and 7. Gravity. Serious. Focused. Concentrated. Not with a lot of levity. Live a serious life. seriously following Christ, seriously trying to serve God the best way you can. Because we have Satan and we have the world to fight with all the time, don't we? All of this constantly. We have obstacles. We have mountains to climb. We have valleys of death to walk through. We have all kinds of obstacles as we go through life. Thank you for your attention tonight. We went from one one something, 118, 119 through 22. Okay. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Turn you loose on the world. Cindy, would you mind?